no way. He caused us. I'm so glad that God worked it out that I could be in church. I'm so glad that God worked it out that my family could be in church. God did this. He caused us to sit in heavenly places. I generally don't clock myself. Boy, Sunday we had a real quick one. Amen. I know what some of y'all have been praying. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Amen. I told Pastor Johnson I wasn't going to be long. I told him I was a little rusty and a little out of sorts. So anyway, I knew I couldn't do it long. So tonight I'm warmed up. I'll be good for. I feel like I'm good for about 2.5 hours. Amen. I already lost 4 of you. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Let me say how good it is to be here. Amen. How good it is to see the church prosper and work and to grow. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Yes, He is. Acts chapter 3, verse 1, down through verse 9. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple, the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then said Peter, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand, took him by the right hand, and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Aren't you glad tonight, amen, that the word of the Lord did this for this man? From where he was to leaping and praising in the temple. Amen. You may be seated. Just cover some territory here tonight and points in teaching. Again, I've done some down there and off a little, so I got to get back in my teaching mode tonight. Amen. Point by point. Amen. Every relationship in your life will either pull you up. I'm getting a pop in here. Every relationship in your life, every one of them, will either pull you up spiritually or pull you down spiritually. Every relationship that you have in your life, in that relationship, you will find yourself either being pulled up or pulled down. It does not matter whether it is your friends, co-workers, your family. Whatever. You will find yourself, if you stay around them any length of time at all, you will be either find yourself moving up spiritually or moving down spiritually. No matter who it is. Everything, everybody affects you, either positive or negative. Now, every friendship that you have either does you good or it does you bad. You have a friendship, you'll find that you will come out of that friendship better or you'll come out of that friendship worse. Every decision that you make, every choice that you make will either take you higher or it will take you lower. Doesn't matter. Every decision, even the small decisions, It'll either take you higher or it will take you lower. Is everybody with me now? People affect you. Decisions affect you. To the bad, to the good, to the up, to the down. It does not matter. There is no relationship or decisions that leave you with zero, neutral, nothing. None. Somewhere along here, decisions, people, it's going to bring you up or it's going to bring you less or bring you down to some degree. The thing about it is with these choices, you will have to live with this the rest of your life. You make a choice now, you say, well, that's just today. Let me tell you, and making choices will last you for the rest of your life. So, especially if you're a parent. If you are a parent and you make a good decision, it will affect your children from here on out. If you're a parent and you make a bad decision, it will affect your children's children's children. It will affect every, you will live with this decision all the days of your life. I know we talk about the blood, and we talk about repentance, and we talk about forgiveness, and I believe in the blood, and I believe in repentance, and I believe in forgiveness. But you understand, you will have to live with the effects of your choices that you make for the rest of your life. A good example of that is a person that smokes and smokes and smokes and destroys their lungs and comes to the house of God, and God fills them with the Holy Ghost. And they get a new spirit and a new person, new, but they still have the same old lungs. When you make decisions and choices, you remember, good or bad, they will stick with you for the rest of your life. Amen. For every day then on. No neutral acquaintances in your life. You got to understand, you meet people and they'll either do you good or they'll do you bad or evil. So you find that this, everything counts in the long run. I don't care what it is. It may be just a minor decision or a minor relationship or a minor transgression, whatever. It all counts down the road. I think of the scripture that says, whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. That can go two ways. You sow good, you got good coming, honey. You sow bad, you got bad coming. You may say, I went to the blood, or I went to here. I'm talking from years. I'm 70, almost 71. You wouldn't know it, but I am. I'm talking about years and years. You picked what you planted years before. You may pray, you may fast, you may say, God, but I'm going to tell you, what a man plants, that's what he's going to reap. All right. I got a couple of you with me tonight. Amen. Everything counts in the long run. So it is important that we calculate the decisions and who we are around and who we have in our life. We calculate it carefully, the ones that influence us. And we find out, is this decision worth it? Is this person really doing me good? You calculate it. You as an individual have to sit down. So many times it's left up to the pulpit. You can't do this and you can't do that and you can't be around this person and you can't be around that person. And all of a sudden, you think, well, my God, I have questions sometimes. What would we do if there was not a pastor? You have to calculate somewhere. I'm making decisions, and it's in the long run, but it's going to be to my good. Or I made a decision, and not a right decision. But let me tell you, honey, you will pick that cotton a long time later. Okay? Now, Jonah thought that he was improving his life. God said to Jonah, I want you to go do a job for me. I want you to preach to Nineveh. It said, go up to Nineveh. I need you to do something. So Jonah, in his choice, he thought he was doing a good thing. When he ran away from the calling and the will of God, he thought, I'm making my life better. I'm doing things here that's going to help me. I'm getting away from this, and I'm getting towards this, because I feel that going down this way towards Tarshish and going through Joppa is going to be better than going up to Nineveh. But you got to understand something. Amen. It was Joppa was Jonah's choice. Nineveh was God's choice. Now, what was happening is, Jonah was thinking this. If I go to Nineveh, it's not going to set good. So I'm going to go down towards Tarshish and go through Joppa. And I'm going to find peace there, but I'm going to tell you, he didn't find peace there. He was saying to himself, everything's going to get easier when I go that way or when I do in that direction. Amen. It's going to be easier, but understand something. It never did get easier. What we find, instead of obeying God, Jonah went in the opposite direction. Read for me Jonah 1 and 3, or Brother Shutt, not Jonah. Brother Shutt, read for me out of the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 3.
I knew I was getting old. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
Okay.
And went down to Joppa.
And he went where?
Down.
Down to Joppa. Verse 5.
And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, went down into it, to go with them.
Everybody say he went down.
He went down.
Okay.
To go with them unto the Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
Okay.
Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep.
Where you at now?
That was 1 and 5.
1 and 5. 2 and 5 now.
The waters compassed me about,
okay,
even to the soul. The deep closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head.
I want you to look. He's thinking to himself, God wants me to do this. But I don't want to do that. So I'm going to make my choice. And my choice is going this way. What I think's right. God said, I want you to go this way. Jonah said, I'm not going that way. I'm going to go my way. So he went that way. But when you study this and look at this, it paints a dreary picture. He went down and down and down and even gets even more dreary. He said, the waters compass me about, even to the soul. In other words, it just now, it wasn't something that just affected my outside. This is covered me totally to the soul. The depth closed round about, and the weeds were wrapped around my head. Has anybody ever suffered claustrophobia?
Come on.
Man. Claustrophobia, amen, is a bad thing.
Man.
I used to never have claustrophobia, but I got claustrophobia. And when you, it's a horrible feeling. I went to the dentist a couple times this week, and them two dental assistants right over my head where my mouth opened, I could feel myself going, don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. It's getting bad around here. Don't let it happen. I had to fight that feeling. Can you imagine it in his feeling? When he went down and down, and the further going down, the worse it got. It started affecting his inward soul. Let me tell you something. Sin will take you further than you want to go.
Amen.
And any time you walk away from the will of God, you are walking down.
Amen.
It is a slippery slope. It don't get better, honey. It gets worse. So he finds himself, and every step of the way, it is now getting worse. It's around his head. Read verse 6.
I went down to the bottoms of the mountains.
I went down to, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Amen. You, when you leave the church, you go down.
Yes, sir. Great.
He said, I'm leaving God's plan, and I'm going to go where I want to go. But it's led him to the very bottoms of the mountains.
The earth with her bars was about me forever.
The earth with her bars, it locked me down. And I wonder if he thought when he was going down, 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 and got that seaweed around his head, ooh, I should have done what God wanted me to do. You got to understand, it was his choice that carried him to where. So he went down to, and the bars was about me forever.
Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God.
It was in the bottom that he hit the bottom that he came and said, you got me out of this, God. But he was describing it. You got to understand, sin will bring you down. It'll bring your family down. When you walk away from God, it is always down. When you think about the portion of Scripture, we read about the Good Samaritan, and we talk about what he did. You got to understand, there was more characters in the play or in the cast than the Good Samaritan. We preach about the Good Samaritan. We preach about the priest that wouldn't and the Levite that wouldn't. But there was a man that was in the ditch. Notice where he was leaving. He was leaving Jerusalem, or where the temple of God was, or where the house of God was, or where the worship of God was. And it said he went down to where? Jericho. On his journey down to Jericho, it said he fell amongst thieves. What I'm trying to preach to us tonight is, amen, the safest place is the house of God. I know sometimes it's a little crowded, but honey, it's better than seaweed around your head. I know sometimes it gets a little tight in here, and preaching gets a little rough, and it gets a little down. But honey, it's a whole lot better than having the bars of earth wrap around you, and the waters of the earth drown you out. Hear me. I'm preaching to us tonight and saying, hey, it's better to be up than it is to be down. It's better to go up than it is to go down. This old boy realized, amen, on the road to Jericho, which is down, he fell in amongst thieves. Went down to Jericho, ended up down in a ditch, beaten down by thieves. Gotta understand something. Sin will take you further. People say, not me. I won't do that. You don't have no choice. When you change masters, it'll take you places, show you things that you never thought you'd ever see, never thought you'd ever do. I remember here a few years so back, standing right here, Mom Johnson prophesied to a young man. Said, if you keep going the way you're going, you're going to take your children to places and things that they have never, ever, ever seen, the depths they've never been to. And today, it is a big, 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 vast difference from Jerusalem to where they are in Jericho. All because people make choices. They will follow you. He started in Jerusalem, but he ended up in a high place, but he ended up in a low place. There's a story. I'm gonna finish it, the very first part of what we read. I want you to notice in Acts 3:1. The man at the gate, when you study this, was bound. Josh, Lay down on the floor for me there a minute. And look up. I don't care if you 3'1". You taller than him. He got to look up to you. I've seen people I had to look up to. Tall. But where you are, son, if I'm this tall, you got to look up to me. That's where the man was. Kind of reminds me of us when we were in sin. That's a good one. On the bottom. That's where sin took us. Our families was on the bottom. Our lives were on the bottom. Everything about us was on the bottom. That's where you are when sin has you. On the bottom. So here was this man at the gate. And he was looking up. He was crippled. He was down. Every day of his life. But it was not God's plan for him to stay down. It was God's plan for him to get up. It's not God's plan for me, or you, or your families, or your friends, or your neighbors to stay down. It's God's plan for them to be up. We was down, Brother Chuck, but we are up. Brother Gutierrez, we were down. Sin had us down, but we were up. Our families were down, Brother Kenny. Everything was down, 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 down. And believe it or not, we was going lower down towards the pits of hell. But along come Jesus. Amen. And we come up. This man was down. Low down. You may be seated. Everything was higher than him. Everything. Everybody. Every situation. Now, Let me just give you 4 points. And I'm not going to be long tonight. There are 4 points that I want to cover. I didn't tell you to get up, son. I was going to see how long he's going to stay down there. Oh, yeah. Got to have a little fun. Everybody say right decisions. There are people that make decisions even today that are detrimental to them. That go against parents, that go against preaching, that go against history. Hear me this. I preached long enough. Amen. The old saying is, don't mess with Leroy Brown. Don't pull on Superman's cape. Don't spit into the wind. There are people, let me just say to you, don't spit into the wind of history. I have been in this long enough to know what will bring you down and bring you up. Tear you down, build you up. Amen. When you go against history, when you go against authority, can I tell you, it will blow back in your face. Amen. But we're not here to discuss what's wrong. We want to discuss what's right. Show me, amen, what I can do to come up. Okay? Notice now. In verse 1, Peter and John went up into the temple at the hour of prayer. Notice, on their way to the temple to pray, there was miracles that happened. Number 1, write it down. The first point about being up, staying up, staying on top of the situation is, amen, get you a prayer life. Because prayer will pick you up. Prayer will lift you out of the pits. Prayer will carry you through what you've been going through. Amen. Number 1, I think the premier thing in a child of God's life is get you a prayer room somewhere and build you a prayer altar and pray and pray and pray. Amen. Notice now, Jesus did miracles and Jesus did great things and Jesus healed the blind and Jesus did all these miracles. But the disciples with him didn't say, Jesus, teach us how to heal the blind. Jesus, teach us how to raise the dead. Jesus, teach us how to do this. Their prayer was what? Jesus, teach us to pray. You want to stay on top of your family. You want to stay on top of your finances. You want to stay on top of your problems. Hear me today. Go to praying. Go to praying. Get a hold of God. Get a hold of heaven. Talk to Him. Amen. It will build you up. It will build your faith. It will allow miracles to be performed in your life. Point one is prayer will pick you up. Second point I want to look at is this. When they came, the man all down, there he was, had been there for years since he was born. They said this to him, look on us. I think one of the most important things, amen, to understand, positive influences will pick you up. He said, look on us. If you're going to stay up, you got to keep good people in your life. If you're going to stay up and live for God, you're going to have to keep good people in your life. If you're going to get to where God wants you to be and stay at the level God wants you to stay, you are going to have to get and keep good people in your life, good influences in your life. I know your neighbor, amen, might be a nice person, amen. Witness to her, witness to him, invite him to church. But as far as hanging out buddies, honey, amen, get you some people that are God-minded. Get you some people that are church-minded. Get you some, because that influence, amen, has got to be good. They said, look on us, amen. And so the man looked up and he said, amen, this is an influence I want in my life. You cannot run, amen, with bad influence and stay. You can't let your kids run in bad influence. You can't hang around bad influence without it tearing you down. But you get you some good influence. If you want a good fishing buddy, find you somebody in the church. You want a good shopping companion, get you a sister in the church. You want somebody to keep you in a prayer, on a prayer wheel, so to speak, or in a prayer room. Get you somebody that's praying. Don't find you some half-wit, half-carnal individual and say, that's who's going to be at my house 90% of the time. Hear me. Put somebody in your life that will influence you to pray, influence you to worship, influence you to do good, influence you the things that you need in your life. The others will bring you down, but good influence will bring you up. Well, hallelujah. Keep good people in your life. Draw a fine line between good influence and bad influence. Your job. It's not the pastor's job. Sure not the bishop's job anymore. You draw a line. You make sure that I'm drawing a line between. Shouldn't be that the pastor has to say, well, you can't hang around with them. Shouldn't be have to remind you every day of the week. You can't hang around them. Can't be that every time he turns around, you've got to take a stick, whack your hands like a school teacher. Stand out there like a school guard. This way, no. You know who needs to make that choice? You and I. Sit down and say, amen, let me tell you something. Amen. Bad influences will bring you down. So you have to draw a line. Just say, I'm sorry. Can't be. Keep positive influences in your life. Do you know what? There's some people in churches sometimes I don't even like to be around. There's some people in churches, every time they look at something, they look at the negative side of it. If they went through Walmart and the battery section, they are so negative, they would drain the batteries the time they got to the other end. Pick you somebody that's got a positive. attitude.
You find somebody who says, I don't think I want to go to church. You tell them, hey, you all have a good day, buddy. I'm on the next boat out of here.
Right.
Amen. I'm not hanging around you. They get you somebody that says, I want to go to church. Or get you somebody that says, I want to have revival. Get you somebody that says, I'm behind the man of God. Get you somebody that says, let's go to Monday night prayer. Amen. Get you somebody that says, hey, this is something that's good in my life. Don't get around somebody that's always picking at the people of God, picking at the man of God, picking at things they don't like, picking at things that don't suit them. Get somebody and keep them in your life, because let me tell you, these negative influences will bring you down. But somebody that'll pray with you and encourage you, they'll get you through your rough times, and they'll get you through your bad times. Keep positive influence in your life. Amen. So you have number one, prayer will pick you up. You have number two, positive influences will pick you up. Number three, amen, is where it said that he reached down his hand and got him by the right hand and he picked him up. And I tell you, preaching will pick you up. It was preachers that lifted him up. One of the things we built in the 40 years we were here was there was never a distance between the pulpit and the pew. Because when you got a pulpit and a pew pulling together, and you got the good God of heaven in the mix, then you got a threefold cord that's not easily broken. You can't beat a church that's behind the pastor and the pastor that's behind the church. And you can't beat a God in glory that joins in with a praying pastor that's joined in with praying saints. You hear me, preaching will lift you up. Amen. You need to be a preacher lover. You need to be a preaching, amen, addicted to preaching. Amen. I found people's level of choice or level of decisions like, I don't need that. Let me tell you, we need preaching. It is by the preaching of the Word that we are saved. It is by the preaching of the Word. Amen. When you come to church, don't let anybody interfere with your preaching. Amen. Don't let anybody distract you from your preaching, because there'll be something said in preaching that'll help you stay on top. Amen. Pray for your preacher. Amen. Don't let anybody turn you against the man of God. They might have been a bunch of preachers across the land that might have messed up and done some things, but thank God you got a good preacher in this church, and you need to get behind him. You need to support him. Why? Because it's going to be the preacher that's going to pick you up, Brother Chuck. It's going to be the man of God that's going to pull your family back out. How many times can we say and testify even here, amen, the devil had us down. The devil had us almost out. They counted 1, 2, got down to almost 10. But somewhere the man of God, through preaching, reached down and got me out of the pit. Can I get a witness? Amen. I know prayer will pick you up. I know positive will pick you, influences will pick you up, but it's going to be the preaching of the Word. That's why you don't do checkbooks while the preacher's preaching. You don't play with babies while the preacher's keep preaching. You don't get out here and think, well, what can I do tomorrow while the preacher's preaching? You get up in there and say, preach to me, preacher. Keep me in the straight and narrow. Keep me on an upward journey. I say thank God for preaching. Thank God for the man of God. Preaching will pick you up. Tell somebody near you, preaching will pick you up. So, we found out the positive and the negative. What'll bring you up? What'll tear you down? What'll make you better? What'll make you worse? Looked at it. Talked about Jonah. Talked about the man at Jericho. We're talking now about the man at the gate. found out that, number one, prayer will pick you up. Positive influences will pick you up. Preaching will pick you up. Verse 8. Let me focus now on verse 8. And he, notice now in the previous verses it said the man of God or the preacher got him by the hand and lifted him up. But notice in verse 8, and he, doing what? Leaping up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And the people all saw him walking and praising God. Preaching only works if you let it. Preaching only works if you respond to it. That's why the Scripture says to us, be not just a hearer of the Word, but be you a doer of the Word. One of the things that's going to make the difference in this end time, one of the things that's going to keep us on top is we are not going to allow ourselves to be stay down, number one, but we are not going to stay in a position that it's only the preacher that's reaching down. We're going to make sure, amen, Landmark's going to make sure that there are church that the man of God might be reaching down, but the church is reaching up. The Bible said when he leaped up, amen, and started praising God, amen, then's when the people saw a miracle had been done. You hear me today. You can hear preaching, and nothing will happen to you unless you respond to it. You can hear about Acts 2:38, how you need to repent of your sins and get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Ghost. But honey, as long as you sit in your pew, and as long as you sit in your little state of do nothing, God can't save you, God can't change you. But honey, when you respond to the preaching, the Bible said he leaped up and started preaching. You want a miracle? You gotta come out of your seat sometimes. You may not feel like shouting. You may not feel like worshiping. You may not feel like doing anything. But Brother Chuck, I've found that sometimes, just by the fact of leaping up and starting to praise God, amen, even when you don't feel like praising God, amen, even when you don't feel like worshiping God, I've come out of my pew sometimes and said, devil, I'm not staying down. I'm coming up. Tonight, I'm going to worship God. Tonight, I'm going to praise Him. You need to listen to me tonight. Find you something that you want to do, a goal you want to reach, and start praising your way to victory. Y'all ain't hearing me now. I'm fixing to close. Amen. You want something from God. You want to see a miracle in your life. You start praising God. You start obeying God. The preacher will preach and lift you up. But you've got to respond to it. You've got to hear it. You've got to obey it. You've got to do it. Amen. It's got to be with a willing heart. Pastor Johnson can't get up here, amen, and continue. Hey, you got to reach a place and say, hey, Pastor, amen, I'm moving up tonight. I'm stepping up tonight. Come on, you young people's going to hear some preaching at camp this year. You're going to hear it focused at you, amen. You can sit over there and be a prima donna. Whatever. One of them pretty little things. You can sit over there, amen, and just do nothing, and it won't affect you. But you listen to me. God's got a higher ground. God's got a place. Amen. You may go to camp down, but if you'll respond to preaching, you'll come away from camp up. You may go to camp not really sure in the direction you're going, but honey, if you'll hear preaching and you'll start praising God, if you'll get out of your seat. Come on now, some of y'all ain't worshiped God so long. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, you want victory, go to praising. You want to see the devil defeated? You want to have revival in Landmark? You want to have a good camp? You want to see more Williams come in? Amen. Praise, praise, praise. Prayer works, positive influence work, preaching works. But it's when the people of God go to responding and praising. Oh, somebody, clap your hands to the Lord. Amen. Anybody want good camp? Anybody want revival? Anybody want to see a move of God? Clap your hands to Him. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Him for a little while. Hallelujah. 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 How many believes God? How many believes God can reach down and touch Sister Linda's sister? How many God believe God can help her, deliver her, bring her up? I believe it. Come on now, you ain't gonna get it with long faces. Somebody's got to start praising God. How many believes He's a healer? I said, how many believes He's a healer? Yes, yes, yes. How many believes He is a way maker where there is no way? Nothing's too big for God. Hallelujah. It was their worship, it was their praise, it was the singers that was praising God that got in front. We don't need mumblers. I said, we don't need grumblers. We don't need people that finds fault. You know what we need? We need believers. Because believers become receivers. I said believers become receivers. Praisers. The enemy had all of his armor and protection and weapons, but all they had was praise. Sometimes I feel, I'm sure you do too, hey, there's a big old devil out there. Sometimes he's just a little too big. Not really sure sometimes. Because the old flesh. But boy, boy, boy. When you get into the mindset, my God can do anything. He can do exceedingly and abundantly above that which we ask or that which we think. And I go to praising God. And I go to sending praise up. You hear me? It happens. It happens. In the prison, they were praising. In the prison, they were worshiping. Paul and Silas, amen, broke down the walls with prayer and praise. You hear me, Landmark? Amen. Get behind your preacher and praise revival down. Pray revival down. See it work. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, remember what Bugs Bunny used to say? Beep, beep. That's all for tonight, folks. I didn't do bad. 44 minutes. Ain't bad at all. Man. Stop. 45. 35, oh what? Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited. Amen. I'm excited. I'm excited about camp. I'm excited about church. Let me just say this to you. Mom and I have not abandoned you. Sometimes you think, well, them two old goats have abandoned us. We have not abandoned you. I just know the will of God.